You're listening to Vatican Radio. Methodist and Catholic theologians are meeting just outside Rome this week, marking the 50th anniversary of their first ecumenical dialogue group following the Second Vatican Council. That first session of the Methodist Roman Catholic International Commission was held in the hill town of Ariccia in October 1967. Here in the Vatican, Pope Francis met with members of the current commission on Thursday, together with leaders of the World Methodist Council, saying that half a century of dialogue has set us free from estrangement and suspicion and helped us to recognize each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. South African Bishop Ivan Abrahams is General Secretary of the World Methodist Council. He talked to me about the concrete fruits of this ecumenical journey.
If I look at our 50-year pilgrimage or journey, two ingredients are important, and that is love and trust. And if I reflect on the 7 reports that have come out thus far, for me those are the basic building blocks, is love and trust that has been established through the dialogues. One of the greatest challenges, I think, is to let the dialogues percolate to the local level. And we need to see how we can do that much more effectively.
You're going to be giving Pope Francis, aren't you, a copy of the most recent dialogue report entitled The Call to Holiness. Can you, if you like, summarise that? What is the main message of this document?
The main message of the Call to Holiness from Glory to Glory is that we should work towards unity and that there cannot be anything else but a call to unity, and that's a fundamental part of our mission and our witness to the world, to see that the high priestly prayer of Jesus is made reality. And I've often said, just coming from South Africa, that we would see the demise of apartheid in my lifetime, and that has happened. I had hoped to see the reality of that they may be one in my lifetime.
That hasn't happened, but how effectively are the churches working together then in your native country? How much do Christian churches manage to impact on the political, the economic, the social challenges facing society there?
Well, at one time we had what is called the National Religious Leaders Forum, something very interestingly that was introduced by President Mandela, not the churches. He felt that it is important for there to be a united ecumenical witness, and ecumenical in the much broader sense, that it was not just churches, but other faith communities meeting with government and where we could respond to some of the policies and express our anxieties, our joys, our fears, and also where we thought there need to be policy changes.
And so that is having a positive impact still today?
It's a bit muted because many of the priests and prophets have become politicians. They've been kind of co-opted by government. And as you know, the current regime is undergoing a lot of pressure from civil society. And some of the church leaders just don't know on which side they have to stand. At one time we spoke about being in critical solidarity with a new regime, but I'm afraid just from an ethical perspective, some of us had to now oppose some of the policies in the same way that we opposed some of the policies under apartheid.
Let's come back to this pilgrimage towards unity, this call to unity between the churches. You talk about the Methodist family as united but not uniform, don't you? Diverse but not divided. This is an issue that all our churches are struggling with, how to hold together the tensions both within and between the churches. What lessons do you think perhaps the Catholic Church can learn from the Methodist way of understanding unity?
Well, the issue is that within the Methodist tradition, while we agree in doctrine, but in terms of governance, we don't apply the one-size-fits-all. The various conferences are autonomous, so they make their own decisions. And besides some of the fundamental issues, like the creeds, the issues of faith, that we are not compromising on, that we are one, but the issues of how the church expresses its mission and witness is very much contextual, because some of the main issues in Latin America are totally different to some of the challenges that churches are facing in the Northern Hemisphere, in Northern Europe, in North America. And so there is a degree of autonomy. They cut their witness cloth according to how it fits in the local context.
We are seeing Pope Francis increasingly encouraging local Catholic bishops' conferences to understand and develop their own ways of implementing the faith as it has always been taught, to have a more culturally contextual understanding of the faith, if you like. Do you see this as a great sign of hope for the future of the dialogues with, indeed, all of the reformed world?
I think that that is really the only way to go if we speak about the integrity of the gospel, because every cultural context is uniquely different. And in a world where Christianity is decreasing and where there's a growing secularization, I think that that is very, very important. It's germane to our understanding of the gospel.
We have seen a huge increase in practical cooperation around important issues over the past decades, haven't we? Catholics and Methodists working very closely together on many of the pressing challenges of our world today. Do you think this means that there is no longer perhaps any urgency to pursue the ecumenical dialogue, to search for closer unity?
Those major issues like migration, refugees, climate change, those are important. But I believe that the theological dialogues are important, because we also need to get our theology, we need to find some consensus in terms of how sacramental life is going to be lived in the future. And my own sense is that there's still a lot of work to be done. Although there's consensus on many issues, we also need to clarify some issues so that we can walk the road together.
What is the main message that you're bringing to Pope Francis as representative, as head of the World Methodist Council?
We've just had a major conference in Houston, and the theme was one. And I think that that is a fundamental theme going forward. And we are absolutely thrilled about how Pope Francis is a symbol of hope for the future, and especially how he's been able to appeal to a younger generation, something I think that all institutions are struggling with. I hear many people say that I am spiritual but not religious. And Pope Francis's message is really appealing to much of the younger generation. And as I say, he's a beacon of hope. And I think he stands as somebody who embodies the unity that we are seeking to live.
My thanks to Bishop Ivan Abrahams, Secretary General of the World Methodist Council.